what can we do to make it like tennis, where it's actually pretty engaging to watch early on because of the hold break dynamic? We just did de-weaponize the serve, really made the return team have a strong advantage, which is what pickleball should be, and play tennis scoring. Let's just get weird. And holding serve is actually for the return team, right, in pickleball, because they're favored to win percentage-wise. I think that'd be interesting.
No, I mean, that's, you know, that's wild.
Tennis. Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Flustered but here, I just threw out some random predictions on Twitter / X. So, I don't know if
so
you saw them.
Robert, what you're trying to say is you were deep in the Twitter streets and you decided to make a couple of posts is what you did.
Well, not deep in the Twitter streets. I actually haven't been on Twitter very much, which is, I know, sad for everybody, but I don't know what I've been doing. Just not tweeting. But I did tweet this morning and I promoted Selkirk put out a little promo for the Behind the Paddle podcast, which is where I just interview different players and people in the sport and talk about their stories and who they are as people and what brought them to this crazy world of pickleball, wiffle ball.
So you have DY on Donald Young, and then you immediately say he's going to lose to Bao Duong? I mean, it's messed up. What is that all about?
I said it was a probably wrong prediction upset, but I love Wa Bao. Wa Bao's just the man.
He is super cool. He's always scrambling to get some touches in at these tournaments, and like he's just there. He's on site for like 14 hours.
He wants to hit some dinks.
Yes, he wants to hit some dinks, and I always end up grabbing Bao. So, love that kid, and I do believe he will lose his singles match against Donald Young. But hey, you never know.
That's why it's called an upset, baby. And honestly, by the time we're done recording here, he'll probably have already lost. So,
this might be the first time ever that there's actual live, because we're doing it on Tuesday. And we have the progressive draw, so we have a round of 64 action. And man, that you are right about one thing on your tweet is,
what's that?
Fed Rachel versus Mari Klinger is a rough round of 64 for everybody. Because I mean, I think it's probably like a 60-40.
Yeah,
it's like a 60-40 situation for Fed and Rachel. So that is tough stuff. And I mean, there's a full 64 in the mixed, and there was 30 qualifying teams that didn't make it. So almost 100 teams in mixed. That is a tough decision, and that is a brutal round of 64.
Yeah. What are they like? They're like the 50 seed or something insane.
Yeah. They should be more like the 15 seed.
It doesn't do any favors to, you know, to the signed players to be running into guys like this, gals like this. So do you think there should be some kind of like subjective consideration, or do you think it should be purely based off of points?
That's a good question. I guess now that everybody is locked up, maybe the points could matter a little bit less in terms of where the seating is, and you could have like a very soft landing spot for some of the, you know, don't put them exactly where they should be, but at least move them up enough to where it would push back a round or two that they would come up against a higher ranked signed player. So that's tough. There's moving parts. You have to get a little committee together and all this and that. So, I mean, I'm sure it's not going to happen, but man, that's not even round. That's round of 64 that matchup is happening. So that's rough stuff for both players.
We got a Tyler Leung over DJ Young, 11-9 in the third, you know, kind of a fun first rounder. We've got a Gabe Tardio over Johnson Kola, 11-7 in the third. Nice battle.
Shout out to the 40-plus club. Johnson Kola. No spin serve and just still not grinding. Someone you want to play in singles at whatever he is, 44 years old or something.
Yeah, he's too fit for 44. Stop it, John.
Yeah, he is.
Stop it,
he's
dude.
A grinder. He's Stop a grinder.
It. Yeah. Playing singles? What are you doing, dude?
Yeah, and I agree. And I think Leung was actually down in game three against DJ Young, who isn't he's not a huge fan of singles. And yeah, I mean, he has a game to be solid, but I wouldn't say he's a single stud. So that could have been a nice little upset for DJ. Just missed.
Yeah, just missed. It wasn't on my upset board. So, onward.
Yeah, I mean, even like Ross Whitaker, the 49 seed. I've seen that guy play.
He's good.
I mean, he barely lost to Rafa Hewitt. I mean, it's tough these days. It's a gauntlet. It really is.
I mean, Naveen versus Zane Navratil first rounds, that's a tough one too.
Do I know Naveen Beasley? I've never met him before, but I see him on draws all the time, and he has some really nice score lines against very good players.
Yeah. I remember he beat Ignatovic like 0-1 or something.
Yeah, that's tough there, Papa. I don't know, man. I just absolutely love Ignatovic, but he is extremely fun to rip on also at the same time. So,
yeah, because he's fantastic he's taking it. He can take it, and he can give it back, and he's, yeah. If you can give anybody, it's him.
And that's how it should be. You should dish it out aggressively, and you should take it whenever it comes your way. And
eat it.
Unfortunately, most, if not all people, struggle with that dichotomy, but. Ignatovic pulls it off.
I mean, if you're gonna,
rib him.
That's why you got to get deep in the Twitter streets. You put up silly predictions, miss all of them probably, and then you get ripped on. It's perfect. I don't care.
I made two comments in the Twitter streets. So it was Fed. Fed said something about Yannick Sinner being a machine.
Oh yeah,
And then I said something about Fed. Does think Sinner is a machine, but Fed also thinks Fed is a machine, and if he put machine in the description, he would get some love from somebody, and I came through for him.
Yeah, because, just, you know, it's kind of like fishing for compliments a little bit. It's perfect.
That's exactly what it was. So I poked at him.
It's like me tweeting, like, Adam's such a great podcast host. I mean, he just does an incredible job on the podcast. He's so well-informed and has such great takes. I love hearing him on the podcast.
Podcast.
The It Feels Right podcast.
Same thing right there. Jay DeVillier also, something about ball hogs. And I said, Jay is building his brand. He ball hogs so that he can go behind the back and get on SportsCenter. That is 100%. It's all part of it.
Pinch
more important.
Too far middle, get caught behind, behind the back. It's, you know, even if you lose, it's a win.
It's more important than winning the match.
Way more important.
Getting on the SportsCenter top 10, of course. Absolutely. Of course. So, Robert, we have some new serve rules. So I will be talking about those this week in Atlanta, and I'm just going to briefly read them really fast here.
Yeah. Well, don't release. Just give me just what are the high level, like what is the rule? Like an Adam.
The rule is you must drop from your hand, not toss from your hand, but there is a ball length leeway for possible upward movement of the ball from your drop position.
Oh, a ball length leeway. How about that?
Natural lift. There's a ball length of natural lift that is allowed.
Natural lift?
Like, I don't know, when you're springing forward like Dekel, upward like Dekel does, I guess even if you drop the ball, you get a little lift, but it can only be one ball length. And
who wrote this?
Swing at a 45 degree angle or less with a low to high swing, and you must drop the ball from your waist area, which I understand it is from your hip to your bottom rib is the waist area. Or for me, it's a love handle. Your love handle is the waist area.
This really gets me. My torso is so small and compact. My legs are like, it really, That's tough. We've been through this. That's tough on a short torso, guys.
Yeah, right, right. So, and then also you get one resurf, and then it'll be a fault after that. So if you get called for a questionable release or whatever the rule that you broke, you will get a one possible resurf, and then it'll go to fault after that. And I would say that that is the most important thing of all of it, is in the finals with Dekel, he was just consistently getting to reserve. Yeah. And I think the optics of that for a casual fan is like, just call it a fault or not, whatever. That's cool. I mean, not an issue there, but don't let him reserve. I mean, I even looked over it and like Agassi and Gimelstab and Steffi Graf were over there, and they let him reserve a couple of times. And I kind of look over and Agassi threw his hands up like, what? Like, how is this happening?
Andre,
right,
Andre,
so
we're literally making this up as we go. Just stick with us, buddy. just hang in there. What?
Hang in there.
We're figuring it out, guy. So just, yeah, hang tough.
And it's tough because just how Dekel serve looks is so brutal.
Because he goes on the tippy toes. He really extends upward. But Adam, my issue with this, this new rule, this kind of new wording is the low to high motion, it's always going to be low to high no matter what, because your swing's always going to finish basically over your shoulder with a serve. So even if you come at it waist high, going straight through it, you're still going to eventually finish up. So it's always going to be technically low to high because you're finishing high. So I don't love that wording because the motion, even if it's, it's always low to high.
Yeah, no, I got you. And
you're never finishing low.
No, you're not. It doesn't work that way. I even overheard some referees in the elevator in Las Vegas, and they said every single one of Dekel's serves is legal.
Yeah. I mean,
technically
it's legal. Yeah.
But it just stinks that it looks bad for a casual fan. Whereas a similar level of serve in James Ignatowicz looks much more legal than the Dekel bar serve, even though they are both legal. Given the rules. So,
I mean, we got issues so these are the UPA guidelines, I believe, right? So this is a written rule for UPA specific. In USA Pickleball, their rules and regulations, I don't know what the deal is, but played Will Howells and mixed, and he got called for a serve or warned for a serve probably 3 or 4 times, and it was just a warning every time. So that's got to change. Like if we're gonna try to regulate the serve, I mean, it's got to be a fault. I don't even like the warning. Just if your goal is to really kind of standardize it, just, you know, giving a fault right away on the first go will make sure that, you know, guys are complying and gals.
Yeah, don't just, if they don't like it, then challenge. And, yeah. I mean, Howells has a good serve, but I wouldn't say it's like unbelievable. And he does have a pretty it's a sideways motion. So his, in a different way, the optics of it look bad than Dekel's, I think, because he's so much from the side, where Dekel is definitely not from the side.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm with you. I get what you're saying. And how I understand it also is that these rules that they're talking about for PPA are not going to be the same rules for MLP when we have the New York tournament here in however many days it is.
We got to make it the same. We got to standardize.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's got to be one serve rule. I mean,
yeah,
it's Adam, I threw out probably a pretty stupid idea, but I did put this in the Twitter streets. I don't know when, but I find, so the US Open tennis just finished, right? A lot of fun to watch. I always love watching the slams. It's super fun to watch Donald Young get to the finals of mixed, which is just insane. Yeah, well done, Donald. In the Behind the Paddle podcast, we talk about Taylor Townsend, and he mentions that he's playing with her in the U.S. Open because we recorded that a while back. But he was saying that Taylor absolutely loves pickleball, and like she would stop playing tennis today to play pickleball. Like that's how much she's into it. And Donald's like, no, you're like top five in the world and you've probably made $1 million this year in earnings. You should probably just play tennis for now. Maybe, you know, pickleball's not, we don't think it's going anywhere, but it's the sport's always going to be there. But Taylor, you got to keep playing tennis right now. Sorry.
Well, I mean, if she's good enough, she'll make more than that in pickleball.
Yeah. I mean, you said $1 million. That's just earnings. I don't know what she's making in sponsorships.
Yeah, there's extra. There's extra that goes with it. I remember like her when I was coaching Division II tennis or Division III tennis, I would get on tennisrecruiting.net and I would see some, you know, some people. And I remember Taylor Townsend just always being, you know, whatever, blue chip.
Always up there.
I would just go down the rabbit hole of course players we were never going to, we were never going to recruit, but just to see where it ended up. So-and-so beat so-and-so. And then I would kind of go through it. And a lot of times it would end up at Taylor Townsend. So I know she's a stud and I'd be happy to have her. I'd love to commentate one of her pickleball matches. So come on over, Taylor, whenever you want to.
But what surprised me is that it's not just the doubles. Like, I didn't realize, like, her career high in singles was, like, end of August. And I think she's in the 40s. Like, she's, like, qualifying for majors easily and getting good paychecks there. I mean, if you're 40s in the world in singles, top five and top 10 in doubles, like, keep playing tennis.
Yeah, keep playing
tennis. If you're, like, 140 in singles, different ballgame.
Much different ballgame. And do we know how old she is? Early 30s, probably?
No, not 30s. She's definitely 20s. I think.
Oh, nice.
I think.
Yeah.
But I mean, she had, hearing her in the interviews and stuff, great personality, good fire. She's super fun to watch.
No, for sure. I'm gonna look it up.
Oh, but point. Yes. That was a tangent. Back to the US Open bit. So even in the best of five, Adam, we know these are long matches, right? And they're not very TV friendly per se. Like if, you know, we're talking about scheduling and it's like this match follows this match might be 6-1, 6-1, 6-2 in an hour, or it could be, you know, 7-5 in the fifth, which could be 4.5 hours. So you just never know, like with tennis. But what I find interesting is that I'm pretty engaged in tennis from the get-go, especially in men's, because like if it's an intriguing matchup, breaks are so important and holds are so important, even early in sets, right? So if you get broken and you're, let's call it a big server, and you're playing a big server, then it's going to be really tough to break back. So you're always watching and intrigued almost every point because there's these little micro parts of the match that are really crucial early on in the set, early on in the match. Because if you get broken at 1-1, you're now going to watch to see if you can break back. And that game's interesting because the break happens. I think there has to be something. I was talking to somebody in Jacksonville. They're like, yeah, the rally's fine. I'm not interested until it's like 20, somebody gets to 20. You know what I mean? It's like before that, there's not a whole lot of intrigue. So what can we do to make it like tennis where it's actually pretty engaging to watch early on because of the hold break dynamic? And what if we just did de-weaponize the serve, really made the return team have a strong advantage, which is what pickleball should be. And like, you know, the return team and play tennis scoring. Let's just get weird. Play tennis scoring. You know, best of three sets, whatever, best of five for the majors, sure. And you have to, and holding serve is actually for the return team, right? In pickleball, because they're favored to win percentage wise. I think that'd be interesting.
No, I mean, that's wild. With the tennis scoring, like you said, but you're right. And even if the server gets down love 30 at 1-0, you know, that could, there's a reasonable percent chance that break could lead to winning the set, which is 100%. a third of the way that you need to get there. So there are, like you said, these little minor games within a game that allow you to hold your interest when the entirety of it is somewhat blah and long. But yeah, it's just, down love 30. He double faulted and missed a big forehand. He's at love 30 right now. Like that's legit. You know, that's legit.
Every single game, there's something intriguing. Yeah.
Taylor Townsend 28, by the way. But no, I think that's reasonable to find ways to intrigue viewers without the whole body of the match or the game, and have that. The match is there. It's there, but there's other ways to pique interest in the short term throughout. That makes some sense to me.
I think it does. Not. I mean, it is wild, like you said, but it. To me, it would be worth a test, right? Like it would be fun to do. Somebody out there listening, go play a match, do a best of three, just like tennis. Do tennis scoring, and let's see what happens. I'd be really curious on if it was enjoyable and how it played out.
Yeah, there you go. I'm glad. I'm at least glad you said let's get weird after you went with tennis scoring. So you didn't just roll with tennis scoring as that was like a really good option, but I'm with you. It makes sense in from like that level to have little intriguing points throughout as opposed to the entire match. Yeah,
yeah, and right. But the issue is right now that I would honestly say with it. In men's, I mean, it's not so different like in mixed with tennis, right? Like you can serve. I kind of like how they do it where there's no ad and you get to do some guy serves to guy, lady serves to lady. I like that because, you know, it's a big advantage for the guy being able to serve to the lady. So I like the guy has to serve to the guy. But I think, I don't know what I was going to say. We can carry on.
Yeah, but it's also fun. Good Lord, dude, what is going on? Little
I told you
Chico.
I was frazzled coming into this. Yeah, I was frazzled. Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm talking about tennis scoring. I'm spilling expensive Topo Chico all over me.
Is it Topo Chico? I thought it was Top Chico.
No, it's
never
Topo.
Had it before.
It's Topo. It's delicious. It's mineral water. Now it's all over my shirt.
But there is something also fun about when the woman does return the serve and wins the point, just like in mixed and pickleball, when the lady lights up the guy, that is number one for a fan. Actually, it's number two behind a damn let court. The fans cannot. I mean, the most incredible point with digs, mid court reset, soft stuff, firefights, a nice golf clap, but you get one let court in the middle of all of it, and it's like
the
you know something. The crowd erupts, and I think it's just because in their games it ends the point.
Yeah, maybe
when there's a let cord. So when the pros, I guess, right? But still, that is wild. But yeah, when the lady lights up the guy, that is everybody wins. Everybody wins.
Yeah, and that's what I was gonna say is in terms of the scoring, I'm a mess.
Yeah,
it's right now. I would say with the serve. The return team obviously still has the advantage. They can take the kitchen line and the serving team has to hit third. But the advantage isn't like, you know, call it a 70-30 like it should be probably to the return team. The serving team, depending on the server, I mean, it could be close to a 50-50 almost. Depending on big serve and big forehand. Like right now, I don't feel like the return team has a reasonable gap for the advantage. What do you think?
42%. 42% is over a pretty reasonably large sample. And it was, I believe that was 2023 and 2024. And it was like 200ths of a percentage difference over a chunky sample. So it's 42-58.
I would guess it's trending higher too. It would be my guess.
Yeah, you mean more towards the server percentage?
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, look at this matchup we have first round in men's singles, Grayson Golden and Colin Schick.
Yeah,
and Grayson Golden's serve is legit. Yeah. It is.
It is very good.
So yeah. I'd be shocked if that is a 42% situation. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. That's what we need, though. That's Adam. You're just pulling solid data, bro. That's we need more data like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I saw this. You know, I was expecting. I saw the numbers, and I was expecting it to be for this one match. But I think it was. I think it was real clear stats, and it was like over. You know, like thousands of points. So I mean, it was a very solid sample size. You know me, I hate small sample size noise. So that was good to see. And there's a lot of it. Yeah. So, you know, that'll always be, you know, something that, you know, these to weight these stats properly, that will always be something that will be there. But yeah, that's good stuff. And I see what you're saying about that intrigue of
micro intrigue early. Yeah, need it.
Micro intrigue early. Yeah. You should patent that one. Yeah.
Let's get weird.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item and a carry-on on most carriers. And both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry-on, so I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days, so I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
So, when I was scrolling through Twitter, I saw some people just roasting Tom Brady for his initial commentary. I don't know what network it is, but whatever, the biggest one, I'm sure. So I thought that was pretty funny. It's tough out there. It's not as easy as it seems.
The most thankless jobs in the world are pickleball refs and commentators. I mean, it's just, there's no win, right? Like if they're talking about you, it's not a good thing usually.
Usually not. Yes.
It's better if you go unnoticed in a sense, right?
That's right. That's the same thing with referees. It's the same thing with dealers at the poker table. Don't bother anybody. Just be invisible. That is the best ones. I totally agree. You know, public eye, that's part of it. I always throw in that disclaimer, you know, people like to bash commentators, but they are at the forefront of the broadcast. So that's kind of baked into the deal. Just like being a professional athlete, you know, you get paid a nice little salary for playing a game, then you're going to have to take some ribbing if a fan doesn't like what you do. So that's my spiel on that. But it was a little entertaining to see Tom Brady get ripped on by so many people on a much, much, much higher level.
Yeah.
And we'll see if he gets better. Who knows?
I mean, I'm sure he will. That's interesting because, I heard some rumblings, but didn't really go deep into reading some of the comments. But one thing I did see, like, before the season was that, like, he was, like, studying the role and, like, really trying to hone the craft. So a little surprising to me that he came out flat and was getting bad reviews.
Rob, tip number one is you don't overdo it. You can't over-research. Yeah. It needs to happen
more.
Less is more. Just write.
Be invisible, Tom.
Yes. Write down a couple notes. It has to happen organically. You can't you can't go full structure mode and have it like that. In the moment, you have to feed off your partner and you have to let it fly a little bit from the cuff. So Tom will get it situated. Seems like a smart guy, I guess.
Adam, you and I in the booth would just be pure magic. I mean, it's happened before and it was pure magic. It warmed my heart. I think it warmed many people's hearts. And, you know, I think I still see a future where we're side by side talking about pickleball that's happening in front of us.
I still remember the line is Dylan Supermaned at the Beer City Open. He Supermaned in singles and just dove. And you were like, Dylan, we don't. We don't dive on concrete.
No,
that
we don't.
That is asphalt. That is concrete. We don't dive on that. And then I go, Dylan does. It was good.
That's magical. It was magical. Hey,
did we talk about if someone dives, we're going to go through this bit before we started, Rob? No, we didn't do that.
We did it over research.
We had to let it fly in the moment. And
less is more.
That's what made it magical. I agree.
I even wore a Beer City shirt, I think, that Andrea gave me. I felt like I was the epitome of professional.
Absolutely. That's how I would describe you in so many ways, Robert. Also,
just big stains on my shirt.
There, more commentator news is a lot of people are talking about Nick Kyrgios. So yeah. he was jumping down there and some casual threads, just, you know, backwards.
I love
hat,
it, yeah.
Just, but one of the things that I saw, I actually didn't see him do anything, but one of the things that I saw written on some of the posts was it was a special relationship with him and the players, where basically as soon as they saw him or he's about to talk, the players are like smiling and like, know that it's a colleague and that it's someone that they have some form of rapport or relationship with.
Like, so we've gone out together and been very drunk together, Nick. But ask me this question.
Right. So it kind of brings their guard down and lets them give answers that are a little more
totally
just
real,
natural and real.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that that's a very cool aspect of it as well, even though I didn't get to see any of his work. I think that, of course, being in that role, he got knocked a little bit by some people, but what I saw was more positive for him and kind of how he did it with his insights and his lighter demeanor talking to the player. So nice job, Nick.
Yeah, I saw a little chatter about him saying something that was a little demeaning or degrading about females. And I believe it was because Yannick Sinner's girlfriend currently used to date Nick.
Oh, okay.
And there was some mention that he said that was like seconds or something, you know. Yeah, something like that.
Dicey.
A little questionable, and people were calling him out for it. But other than that, we'll let that slide. Other than that, he was fantastic. I mean,
yeah, but
honestly,
like,
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I know he's like ripped Sinner for the doping tests or that he got cleared from the two doping tests, and that. So yeah, you have to be careful. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't talk about the size of any male competitors' butts, a la Greg Dow. But you that looseness and that freedom and that relationship that he has with the players, great, fantastic. I love everything about it. But there is always a threshold that you can't go over.
Yeah,
when you're in that role, so you have to you want it to be light, but you have to be careful at the same time. It's hard to balance it out.
So on the other side of that, in a bit more of a professional sense, I think not professional, but like a more traditional role is Chris Eubanks, who he's decked out in like a slick suit, but he was sitting down in a post match, I think with Chris McKendry and Coco Gauff maybe. And Coco and Chris are homies, and Chris is going through his whole spiel, and he's like being very professional and talking, and Coco's just like, he asked Coco a question. Coco looks at Chris McKendry, even though Chris Eubanks asked a question, and then Chris goes, Coco, why aren't you looking at me? And she's like, I can't look at you. This is so weird. it was so funny and slash cute. Because she's like, I can't take this seriously because you're in a suit doing commentary, asking me questions. Stop it. It was adorable.
I get that.
And he's good. He's so good at it for not having a ton of experience or reps and still like, playing in the events. So he's the man.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. I think that's probably happened a couple times when I have been asking questions to whoever.
Yeah.
the crime dog Tyson McGuffin or something, and you know, with our history or whatever, some of the, you know, I don't believe he drinks IPAs anymore, but we used to have some of those going on. So he was just like, is that Stone asking me a question? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, Stoney.
Stoney. So totally get it. And it is tough to balance out, but I like the looseness and the whatever you do, whatever, even if your question is stupid, it doesn't matter. Get personality. Get the players to break out of that just total, you know, robotic answer situation. And it's, of course, it's not always going to happen. Sometimes I feel like I have killer questions and the answer is garbage. Sometimes I ask a plain question and I get gold. So yeah. It's tough, especially when you're asking the same players questions over at different, trying to come up with different questions, but get personality from high level players. It's all positive. I don't care what anyone says. That's what people want to see. And that's the type of thing that makes viewing sports better.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, there's a reason people watch reality TV. You know,
what is that reason?
I mean, it's kind of scripted. It's kind of scripted. No,
for sure.
But people like watching people and seeing kind of like their life and who they are and behind the scenes stuff. Like, people love that.
Yeah, no, I agree. No, I've watched plenty of reality TV. Not proud of all of
what's your favorite?
Oh God, I don't know. I mean, I was like at the beginning, like watching the
real world.
Yeah, like
Road Rules.
Yeah, and I watched the challenge for a little bit. World Road Rules Challenge. That's difficult to say.
That's a tough. It's a mouthful.
That's a tough one. But yeah, I watched that stuff, and and Prof likes it some too. You know, when she has a hard day of work, turn her brain off and watch some reality TV, whatever, The Bachelor or something like that. Where you can just, you can kind of unwind. So, I agree. Certainly scripted, or some percentage of it scripted, but some of it is kind of real also. And I do think people appreciate that.
I'm into all of the real estate ones, you know.
Oh, Selling Sunset.
It's a fantastic one, let's be honest.
Fantastic.
is it?
People are trying to copy it.
I like the Ryan Serhant one too. In New York. I think it's
Manhattan, something Manhattan.
Yeah. Owning Manhattan, I think maybe.
Yeah, and then they have one from in Europe too, like England or something. So I like those two.
Yeah, it's fun just to see the real estate.
Yeah, it's insane. New season of Selling Sunset. I was just scrolling through Netflix. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't either, but it's on my list. Yep.
I'm in planes a lot. I might have to pull that trigger, you know?
You have to. Just get that on that smart download on Netflix, you know?
Ooh, the smart download. Sometimes it gets too aggressive, though. Like,
what do you
mean? Like, I don't know. Like it'll like download like the next 5 episodes or something like that.
Yeah,
or
I've already, it's like, I don't even know if I like this show yet. Let's not do 5, you know?
Yeah, or I've already watched it and it still downloads it as if I hadn't. I don't know. Anyway, we're going.
Every time I go into it, it says expired, and sometimes I don't have anything that I want.
Ah, that's
just disappointing.
Yeah, you gotta have the headphones, and you have to have some form of material if you're getting on the plane. I know people have been doing that cold turkey plane ride thing where they just stare at the seat and ponder
raw
life. Yeah, but that's not me.
I can't, dude. That's way too. It's insane. What are they doing? What are you proving? Who are you proving what to? What are you proving to who?
What are you proving?
Okay, who are you proving what to? I guess that kind of works. All right. Josh is probably listening to this like, what are we doing with this episode, guys? Because we haven't really even talked about pickle. Let's do a tip.
Please. You got one?
Always, Adam. Tell me something. Just say a word, and I'll come up with a tip based on that word.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Let cord.
Okay, this is great. No, seriously.
Okay.
You can't do it too often, but if you do get a net cord, one of my absolute favorite shots, and I think you know where I'm going with this, Adam. And it I would say my percentage on this is actually relatively high. If you get a net cord, let's say all 4 people are at the kitchen line. You got a dribbler that goes over. And maybe your opponent was in the kitchen, and then, you know, they're whatever happened, short dinks, shallow dinks, net cord. Once that thing goes over, and you have to have enough time to be there, right? This can't be like you're scrambling to get to it, because then you just want to, you know, bump it over. But if you're in decent position and you get a net cord that rolls over on your side, drop the tip of that paddle down as you're hitting a forehand, and then brush up on it. And you want to, and this sometimes works, sometimes it gets, you get another net cord, and then, you know, whatever, it's going to reset the point. You're not going to lose it off the net cord because it's not going to go high enough. But the idea is to drop that paddle and brush up on it. And it's going to be like a, it's going to be kind of like a, you want to wait to the last second. That's the key. It's going to be kind of like a high roller that's going like at their shoulder. It usually surprises them. They're not going to hit down on it. Usually I would give this about like a 60-40. So it's, I mean, that percentages are on your side, so do it. But yeah, it's basically a forehand roll flick, but it's slow, it's high, and you have to wait to the last second to hit it. Advanced tip of the day.
So basically, it's a form of a flippy long stockings.
It's a flippy long stockings, but it's a slow, yes, high one at the armpits that you, mm-hmm, really wait to the last second.
Yeah, no, and this is if that the ball off the let cord pushes just a little bit off. You know, if it's too tight to the net, you clearly can't do it. But when
I'll
that
still
ball,
try.
Yeah, but correct. But when that ball lands shallow, whether it's let cord or even just an incredibly dead dink, you are actually closer to your opponent than if you're taking the ball out of the air. You can only reach so far into the kitchen, so you might be a foot or two closer to your opponent. And I love doing this too, actually, Rob. I don't have quite the flipping long stockings that you do, but I just literally go at about 50% right at the Adam's apple.
Yeah.
You do like not want to go. You can't really go at the belly button given the angle of
you'll
the
miss
shot
it too.
Or the fact that, you know, they're going to be more likely to cover that midsection. I go right at the chin, right at the Adam's apple, 50%. They're usually caught off guard or late to clear their body and get a great swing on the ball. And it can be a nice little way to find some offense off of a questionable situation that isn't perfect. So this is not a joke at all. This is a real option from that position. I would advise to not do it every time, but find some spots to do that. Loosen up that grip strength. Go at about a two or three or four, and go right at the shoulder, Adam's apple area. You can win some points that way.
Yep. And I think go ahead.
I was just going to say, when you do it and you execute it properly, it makes them look very silly also.
Yes.
They're all pressed. That's the fun part. They're all pretzeled up. They're swiping at it. They look silly. They don't know what to do with that particular ball moving at like 8 miles an hour. And that brings me joy.
Yep. And I think the key here is, like, if you're playing rec against like kind of the same people all the time, they'll start seeing you do it, right? But if you're playing new people, it's going to be effective usually the first time. You might not get away with it multiple times, but you'll get away with it the first time. And one key piece that makes this work, Adam, is that when that ball is dropping below the net off the net cord, it's like the tape actually hides the ball a little bit. So the ball is actually hidden, so you don't really see it coming either.
Yes, no, I get blocked off because of my height. I get blocked off by the net all the time. So
this is
real. Another advantage of it is sometimes they don't know what to do. They just bail out of the way and the ball lands 4 feet in. That's also very fun. Come on over here. 10 seconds of baby time.
Let's go, AJ.
Let's go, AJ.
AJ.
What's
Let's
up, go, buddy boy?
AJ. Let's go, AJ.
AJ.
Let's go,
AJ.
AJ.
Elephant, giraffe, and monkey. Look at you, bud.
A monkey. Oh, my gosh. It's so cute.
Okay. 10 seconds is up.
Gosh,
good run,
he's
buddy.
Adorable. Absolutely
good
adorable.
Run. Good
Thank
run,
God
buddy.
He got Corinne's looks.
I'll tell you what. Ain't that the truth? Yes. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate you handing me that pen. with cat hair on it from the floor.
Adam, one more, okay, one, just on the tip line right now.
Yes.
So actually, this is coming in hot from a video analysis that I did recently on a gentleman named Jack. He sent in some video, and I do this for people. If you want to check it out, you can go to robnunnery.com. I've got some virtual coaching. Look at that shameless plug. But I did a video analysis, and one of the key things that I saw was kind of – so he mentioned that, like, going – he's – I would say he's like a 4-5 going – like looking to get to a 5-0. And one of the things that he thinks or thought that he needed to do – to jump levels is really create more offense. So when I'm watching his points, you know, getting to the kitchen line and kind of pulling the trigger on a lot of balls off the bounce and just pulling the trigger too often. I still stick by the fact that I think almost everybody can get to a 5-0 purely by just being incredibly clean without having a lot of offense. I think playing clean still wins so many points. You have to be able to counter well, but pulling balls off the bounce, I mean, watching these points, whoever was initiating was pretty much losing 70 to 80% of the time. So being able to counter and being able to just play clean goes a long ways. And I think just because you're trying to jump from 4-5 to 5-0 or even 4-0 to 4-5, it doesn't mean you have to have another level of offense. It just means you have to keep the ball down and you have to be able to counter and you have to be able to play smart.
Yeah. So you probably need to have some baseline of hand speed for counterattack ability. But I agree with you. I really do. And I have a small note here. Also, here is another, just to go back to the previous tip. Use your tricky stuff at a higher frequency when you're playing new opponents. Okay.
Yes.
If you have a couple tricks, you have a couple deceptive attacks, you're playing with your standard buddies or an opponent you played a bunch of times, you must pull back the frequencies. But if it's a new opponent, you can try your stuff at a higher clip and do it more frequently than you can against someone who knows what's coming. So that was four tips in one right there.
Adam, on that note, I think a very important piece of this is, if it's working, do it till it stops working, right? Like if you've got a couple flicks that have worked over and over, don't stop. Let them, you know, if they start sitting on it, sure. But until they do, why would you stop? You know,
that's right.
Keep going.
Don't overthink it. You're playing J.W. Johnson. Maybe you don't go to that same spot three times in a row. But if you're playing,
Unless he misses,
there you go. Maybe so. So I think that's something that happens to me occasionally too, is I do overthink it and I go, okay, I've done this twice. Let me mix it up and go here. Is that necessarily true?
Yeah. So no, keep doing it until it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, that's legit. Very good. I mean, this all came from two words. Net court. That's it.
Yeah.
All this.
I think that's how we do the tip from now on, Adam.
Just organically. That's the key.
It's the key to everything.
Right.
Commentary, tips, education, which is what this podcast is, educational content from two high-end content producers. Isn't that what we called it?
High-end content creators. Elite pickle elite personalities. and there was another one. It's been a while since we've done this spiel, but I like it. So that's perfect. We're about 45 minutes here. We knocked it out. We talked about standard pickle, we talked about nonsense, and we gave life-changing pickleball tips. What else do the people want?
When do you go to Atlanta?
Tonight.
Oh,
Tuesday. Oh. So 5:55 Southwest.
About Atlanta?
Commentator ball after I'm done working.
Oh, Adam still finds joy playing. I love that.
Yeah, I'm starting to. I'm an old dad. I have to get back in some amount of shape so I can. I got to like do activities with the kid for like 20 years. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's very true.
42. The kid's, you know, only a year and a half or so. Like there's.
Yeah. You're gonna be 60 years old just having to hit pickleballs with AJ.
the body's barking. I put on 30 pounds since I stopped playing. Like, none of that is good, Robert. So, just nothing crazy. Just get back in the mix a little bit. And just get the blood flowing a little
what,
bit. You
what
know?
Paddle are you playing with?
I'm playing with the Selkirk Power Air, navy blue and pink.
Oh, beautiful. I like that. Yeah, I'm mixing it up a little bit. Adam, the issue here is that with all of these crazy hot paddles that are out there, I mean, this is another topic we're not going to get into today. But playing with Deluxe, obviously a control paddle. I feel like I'm losing hands battles to people I shouldn't be losing hands battles, because if they just catch it once, it's just pew. So I'm experimenting a little bit. I've got the different Halos, the Power Max, which is, I believe, I mean, it's much thinner, but I played with that the other day and it feels nice to have some good thud off the ball. But yeah, so just playing around, trying the Kevlar slash carbon fiber face as well, which I like. So a lot of experimenting going on right now as I have a break with tournaments until early October is the next
ATP. And now that I'm trying to play a few times a month or you know, at least once a week, I think I might tinker, because I just got on with Selkirk, thought the Power Air was solid and just kind of rolled with it. So
it is.
They got some new lines coming out and some new options. So I might have to get a couple in my hand and see how it feels out on the court. So I love that.
Have to tinker.
All right, bud. Well, let's run this back next week, and I'll have some good tidbits from Atlanta. Should be a fun one. And
so we have progression Atlanta going into straight into MLP. Is that right?
I believe that is correct. Yeah. So the hard days will not be. I am not doing Championship Sunday. So I'm Wednesday through Saturday working. And then hard dates are not at MLP New York, but we will be at Virginia Beach, which is like 2.5 weeks away or two weeks away, something like that. So it's a tight scheduled the rest of the year until December. Frees up a little bit in December, even though PPA did add a tournament in Pictona, Florida, before Christmas. So it's pretty serious the next two and a half months.
Yep. Well, you'll be busy, and you know, you'll be talking about a lot of picky.
I'll be doing it better than Tom Brady. Let's go.
Okay, until next week, we'll learn all about Atlanta and the results and see if my Twitter predictions became fruitful or fruitless.
We shall see.